Let's welcome back to the Armstrong and Getty Show, Felix Light, our man in London, with CBS Radio News and the Moscow Times. Felix, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Good to be here, as always.
Yeah, thank you. You're a great reporter, and that's why we like to have you on. So, speaking of reporting, does that seem to be accurate? Are people that desperate to flee, ending up being some of the 300,000 men that are going to be sent to war?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think, it's kind of hard to understate the gravity and sort of the scale of what's going on. Speaking sort of from my own personal experience, I would say that pretty much every young man of sort of military age that I know in Moscow is making plans or has already left, is making plans to leave or has already left. And so, sometimes that's, taking them through sort of some really sort of, circuitous and long and sort of roundabout routes, So as you said in the segment at the start, all the flights, for 4, 5, 6 days are booked up. It is literally impossible to get a flight out of Moscow right now. So, you see people sitting on trains to go over the border into Kazakhstan or into Mongolia or anything, any sort of way to get out. Because, this, you've got to sort of realize what, the Russian army is. This is not, the U.S. army. This is not the British army, a place where, you're obviously trained to kill and be killed. But, you're treated with a modicum of dignity and a modicum of respect. The Russian army, and more to the point, a conscript in the Russian army, you're not going to be treated well, and you're going to be used as cannon fodder in a war that a lot of these people don't agree with. And so I think, people are pretty desperate to get out of that, whatever it may cost.
Okay, that's a really interesting angle you just brought up. So I was wondering if this is an indication how desperate these men are to get out of the country, that they know what's up. They're getting the real story somehow. We've talked a lot with you and others about the state-controlled media is still tearing the story that it's, we're liberating Ukrainians from Nazis and all this different sort of stuff. So I was thinking, well, most of these young men must know the real story. But part of it is, you're saying, just the idea of being in the Russian military at all is so miserable, you might want to leave the country. Because the history of the Russian military, that's the deal?
Well, yeah, it's both, I think. These people who we're talking about who are leaving, these are people, I think, who are not, on board with the idea of the war in Ukraine. People who, are not endorsing sort of Vladimir Putin's ideas. Russia, has a very sort of strict and very sort of, authoritarian political system with, very little free media. But, people in the sort of advanced cities, young people, educated people, they know the score, as you say. They know what's up. So, it's not impossible to find sort of, accurate news on the internet and whatever, if you know sort of where to look. So, these people are not dumb. They know what they're thinking about. But also, they've invested a lot in not going to the war, and especially a war they don't agree with. Russia has the draft for 1 year. You get conscripted for 1 year when you leave school. You're not supposed to have to fight in wars as a conscript. But, there's a really sort of roaring black market trade in sort of, doctor's notes to get people out of that sort of, year of service in the military. So there's a huge sort of almost, sector of the economy around sort of getting people out of the military. So, when something like this happens, when there's a much bigger call-up and when it's actually to a war, I think that sort of stuff really goes into overdrive. Those kind of instincts, people are just, I'm not going to die for Putin. I'm not going to die in a war that I don't agree with. I get the hell out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've seen videos of guys being hugged by their mothers as before they get on a bus that are going. So how many people seem to actually be sticking around and going, as far as you can tell?
Well, Russia's a very sort of varied and complex country. In sort of the big cities, the Moscows, the St. Petersburgs, a lot of people are just going to be voting with their feet and getting out, going to wherever they can. But, if you're like a young kid in a little village somewhere, you've got a very different life experience, It's more likely that sort of, your dad's already served in the army, or your grandfather's already served in the army. So, it's sort of much more normal. And I think, those people, they don't really have the resources to sort of get out of the country, get out of the way. So I think, what we see is that, if you get away from the big cities to sort of, especially sort of ethnic minority areas, parts of Siberia, parts of the south of Russia, where, a lot of the people aren't actually sort of, European sort of ethnic Russians, they're Muslims or they're sort of Asians or whatever, these people are really getting called up. There's a lot of sort of, sort of military recruitment going on there now. And a lot of the burden of this mobilization is really falling on these people, I think.
What is your take on how long it's going to take before these guys are actually in the field fighting Ukrainians, trying to liberate them from the Nazis?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, it's not going to take long. You know, these people are not going to get the sort of the red carpet treatment in the military. You know, you're going to get sort of, you know, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks of training, you know, because you're already theoretically a member of the reserves. You know, you're already theoretically a member of the Russian army. You've been trained before, and now you're getting sent off to war. So, you know, these people are going to be put in a pretty damn fast conveyor belt, you know, to Ukraine. So these people are going to be showing up on the front very quickly, I would suspect.
Wow. One final question for Felix Light, who is in London, but he's a reporter on all things Russia and has been for a while. How seriously are Europeans taking the nuclear threat that Putin put out the other day?
Well, you know, I think the war obviously feels a bit closer to us, but, you know, when you're talking nuclear, you know, it's almost so bad that you can't imagine it, you know?
And right.
Sort of, I think, for the moment, people do worry a lot about the war. You know, they worry about gas prices. They worry about sort of energy costs here, which are really going up in Europe. You know, so America obviously can get its gas and its fuel from other sort of sources, but Europe is really, really dependent on Russia. And so, you know, that's a big worry, I think, here right now. You know, nuclear is obviously terrifying, but, you know, it's almost that thing that you don't want to think about because it's too bad to think about, right? So I wouldn't say people worry about it on a day-to-day level yet.
Right. Okay, cool. Always good. Felix Light from London. Thank you, Felix.
Always a pleasure. Cheers.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.